ಗಿರಿವಾರಾಧರಿ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವಾರಾಧರಿ ಜಯ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜಾನವಾಲಾ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವಾರಾಧರಿ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವಾರಾಧರಿ ಯಶೋದನಾಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನ ಯಶೋದನಾಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಾಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ತೀರಾ ವನಚಾರಿ ತೀರಾ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜಾನವಾಲಾ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವಾರಾಧರಿ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವಾರಾಧರಿ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಾಲಾ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವಾರಾಧರಿ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವಾರಾಧರಿ ಜಯೋ ಯಶೋದನಾಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಾಂದನ ಯಶೋದನಾಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಾಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾ ज्ञानचारि जरादमादवा जय कुंज विहारी जय राधमाधवा जय कुंज विहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 रामा रामा हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे
जय राधा।
जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये हरे कृष्ण वेरी ऑनर्ड एंड एट द सेम टाइम हम्बल्ड to speak in front of all of you, to speak during Sunday feast class is the most difficult thing in the world because you have in the audience people who have been listening Sunday feast lectures for 40 plus years and know everything and at the same time, sometimes you have completely new people and it's very difficult to figure out how to speak and what to speak. So I'm praying for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada to give me some inspiration to say something which would also be worthwhile for you and perhaps for myself. So I thought a little bit of the topic, and I will speak on the 17th verse of the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which where Krishna makes a very potentially very controversial statement, statement which some people may not appreciate. Yasya na ahankritaha bhavaha buddhihi yasya na lipyate hatva ati saha imam lokam na hanti na nibadhyate yasyanahan krito bhavo buddhir yasyana lipyate hatvapina imallokan hatvapisa imallokan Nahantina nibadhyate Yasya nahan krito bhavo Buddhir yasya nalipyate Atvapina im sa imalokan. Nahantina nibadyate. Maybe somebody else can also chant the verse. Yasya nahan krito bhavo. Yasya nahan krito bhavo. Yasya, one whose, na, never, aham kritaha, of false ego, bhavaha, nature, buddhihi, intelligence, yasya, one whose, na, never. Lipyate is attached. Hatva, killing. Api, even. Saha, he. Iman, this. Lokam, world. Na, never. Hanti, kills. Na, never. Nibadhyate becomes entangled. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One who is not motivated by false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men of this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his actions. Purport. In this verse, the Lord informs Arjuna that the desire not to fight arises from false ego. Arjuna thought himself to be the doer of action, but he did not consider the supreme sanction within and without. If one does not know that a super sanction is there, why should he act? But one who knows the instruments of work, himself as a worker, and the Supreme Lord as the supreme sanctioner, is perfect in doing everything. Such a person is never in illusion. Personal activity and responsibility arise from false ego and godlessness, or lack of Krishna consciousness. It's very interesting. Personal activity and responsibility arise from false ego and godlessness or lack of Krishna consciousness. So it means that all devotees have to be irresponsible. Very liberating statement. Very nice. Anyone who is acting in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Super Soul or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even though killing does not kill, nor is he ever affected by the reaction of such killing. When a soldier kills under the command of a superior officer, he is not subject to be judged. But if a soldier kills on his own personal account, he is certainly judged by a court of law. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Yasyana hankrito bhavo buddhir yasyana lipyate hatva api sa imallo kan nahanti na nibaddhyate. One who is not motivated by the false ego, whose intelligence is not entangled, though he kills men of this world, does not kill, nor is he bound by his action. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yantah pravishyam mamavachim mamam prasuktam sanjeevaya takila shakti darasvadhamna anyamscha hasta charana shravana tvagadim pranam namo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam svasyasta vishvasya kalah prasidatam deyant bhutani shivam mitodhiya Manascha badram bhajatata dokshaje aveshyatam no mati rakya hai tiki. So, as I said, Sri Krishna makes a very drastic statement, which superficially may be interpreted as a justification for murder, for killing. And in fact, many people, especially anti-cult people, they accuse devotees or followers of Hinduism that they basically have the indulgence to do whatever they like under the pretext of being under the higher direction, or as Prabhupada puts it, under super sanction. Of course, nothing can be further from truth than this sort of interpretation of this statement. Krishna purposefully makes this very drastic statement, and he wants to emphasize the point that even up to the point of killing somebody, hatva api, even he kills, he doesn't kill. But he, of course, makes a very strong condition. He says that for somebody who has no ahankrita bhav, not even ahankar, but this bhav. Bhav means the feeling that I am the doer, I am solely responsible of what I am doing. And who doesn't have this, even the tinge of this bhava, In this condition, when he acts, trying to figure out what is the supreme sanction or supreme will, the one who has surrendered his individual will to the supreme will, the one who is truly surrendered, because having no ahankar means to be surrendered, to be completely under the shelter of the Supreme Lord. Only such people, they are, you know, they can do whatever they like. No, they will not do whatever they like. They will never do whatever they like. They do what Krishna wants them to do. And it's a very bold claim, you know. Of course, the possibility of misuse of such statements is there. There is no doubt about it. We know that the religious history of the world has plenty of such examples when people claimed that they know the will of the Lord and they created or they did some horrendous activities under this pretext or excuse. But, you know, putting aside this misuse of such statements, let's consider whether there is scientific criteria when and under which the circumstances, and when you're really entitled to use this verse as an excuse of killing somebody or doing something else. You know, it's definitely, this verse is not an invitation to anyone to do whatever he likes and say, you know, I'm completely Krishna conscious, so, you know, you guys shut up. I know what I'm doing. So, that's definitely not the case. But still, Krishna wants to makes us understand. The whole point of Bhagavad Gita is to teach us how to act without being entangled into actions. And here he clearly says that somebody who doesn't have this ahankrita bhav, this bhav of independence, this feeling of independence, that I'm independent and I can do whatever I like to do, whatever I feel is right, he's nalipyate. Nalipyate basically means that his intelligence will not become tainted by this action. Normally when we act and when we have this ahankar or ahankrita bhav, when we have this bhav, I am the doer, the normal result of this is always, inevitably, is that there will be some impression in your consciousness. I am doing this, and I am doing this for a particular purpose. I want to enjoy, or I want to avoid some negative consequences, or whatever. And the result will be the impression, samskara in your mind, and in this way you get entangled. You know, because the mechanism of this samskaras, of these impressions, the expectations of some result from your work, which is concomitant factor of your hankar. You know, you're acting for a particular result, and it is, and the most important result which you get is not the result which you think is the most important, but the most important result is that you get the samskara. And you will become prone to repeat the same action again and again and again. And in this way, you get entangled. You act, you perform certain action, and then, you know, the impression is there, and this impression accumulates some energy. And this energy will push you to act in a similar way, to get a similar result, and this samskara becomes deeper and deeper and deeper, then it becomes vasana, and vasana becomes the cause of your getting another body in which this vasana will be full-fledged, and you will act according to the habit which you acquired in a previous life. your character is formed by your previous action. So one very important sign, or one very important condition, which not condition, but indication which Krishna makes in this verse, is that nalipyate. You know, there is no trace of your action in your consciousness. And the acharyas which explain these verses and these signs of how to work without being entangled, they say that basically either there are two kinds of emotional reactions to our action. Either we become very happy. Oh, I did such a good thing, you know. I gave such a good lecture. My goodness, you know, I never saw that I am capable of giving such a good lecture. And you're happy for maybe half an hour or something like this, you know, and you know, people clap you and you're very happy. Or you have the guilt feeling. You did something wrong, you feel that you did something wrong, somebody didn't like it. So these two kind of emotional reactions are there, and that's a sure sign that you're not acting without ahankrita bhav. It's a sure sign that you are acting with this ahankar, and therefore the trace, the impression of your activity is being imprinted in your consciousness. And you're getting more and more entangled. Congratulations, you know, welcome to the material world. You know, it's a big place, enjoy it, no problem. So, that's one very important consideration. So this, in general, this our emotional reaction, how do we recognize whether there is ahankrita bhav, this bhav of feeling that I'm the doer? You know, the ahankar, our false ego, false identity, is very closely related to the emotional side of our nature. Ahankar is basically directing our emotions. The emotions which we experience here, please don't mix it on, don't misunderstand me. There are spiritual emotions which are not at all directed by the false ego, which can only be experienced when you're free from false ego. But the material emotions, which are usually stressful emotions, you know, all this kind of, you know, either you're too much elated and too much joyful, or you are too much, you know, morose about something. All these emotions of stress, anxiety, fear, all, you know, all the spectrum of emotions, they all ultimately, the substratum for this is ahankar. The substratum for all the emotions is ahankar. And actually, when we analyze these emotions, why we emotionally react to certain things, we can very clearly see that these emotions are defined by our ahankar. When we see somebody who is, you know, similar to myself, we become joyful. You know, it's because ahankar, the main function of ahankar is to separate you from the rest of reality. You're the separate entity, you're very special. You know, can you imagine how many very special people sitting just in one room? You know, 7 billion very special people living in this earth, and everyone is totally special and away from everyone else. That's what ahankar does. You're very special, you're very unique, nobody else is such a unique person, you know. And the ahankar separates you from everyone else, and ahankar, being the false identity, divides the whole world into somebody who is like you and somebody who is to your friends and your enemies. That's That's a very fundamental action of Ahankar. And of course, the majority of the world is my enemies. You know, I have a few friends. The rest is, you know, there is this famous Roman saying, "Homo homini lupus est." It means that man to a man is a wolf. Oh, how you call it? Wolf?
Wolf.
Wolf. Yeah. So we're just living with so many wolves around us. You know, that's Ahankar. That's what Ahankar does. Ahankar separates you, and Ahankar, basically, it's a protective mechanism. It's a mechanism of your survival. The most basic instincts of survival are recorded within our false ego, within our Ahankar. And it's a very deeply rooted mechanism or structure within our conditioned consciousness. You know, so when Krishna says, when you have no Ahankrita Bhava, please don't take it cheaply. It's not an easy achievement. It's not something which you can achieve in a moment. You know, I don't have Ahankar. You know, sometimes we feel I have no false ego. You know, I am a spirit soul. You know, I am a little manjari in a spiritual world, serving the divine couple. You just wait when somebody offends your false ego. So all the stressful emotions, starting with anger, is actually directed by our false identity, this sense of false identity. And we have this very, very strong sense of false identity which defines us. It's our definition. You know, this is how we define us according to our conception and how we trying to act in this material world. So it's a very deep script which is encrypted within our consciousness and which has been with us for many, many, you know, lifetimes. We are bringing this false identity, which manifests externally as a pride. And we become proud of some certain part of our false identity, which we perhaps perfected, which we cherish the most, that's the main problem. So Krishna, the main point of Bhagavad Gita is actually to teach us how to act in this world without getting entangled into the complexities of this world, into the meshes of karma, how to act without being caught into this intricate chain of cause and effect, and how to ultimately get liberated. So that's a very difficult sign. we have to clearly understand, and here Krishna is explaining this, that the main enemy of ours is this false ego. So Krishna starts from criticizing Arjuna for having false identity, and he ends with the same thing. And he gives the remedy. The remedy is surrender. The remedy is when you surrender your false identity, when you come to the Lord and say, "I'm yours. I'm the part of you. I'm not an independent entity. I'm not on my own. I can only live happily in this world, even in this world, if I always remember about you and try to get your sanctions for everything. Then only we can, nani bandhyate, as Krishna says, then only we can be not entangled or not tainted by our actions. And we really have to be very, how to say this, very honest and sincere when it comes to judge whether we have false ego or not have false ego. That's basically the constant work. Everything else will come more or less automatically. Srila Prabhupada liked to impress upon us the beauty of the process of Krishna consciousness, that when we act properly, then so many gifts are being given. But still, nevertheless, even though there is a lot of things which are coming on its own by Krishna's mercy, there is one area which we should apply our conscious endeavors, that's our false identity, false ego. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he makes this amazingly beautiful and profound point. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one section, it's a famous, fairly famous section of this book, he explains that different anarthas which we have, they more or less go on their own, they walk away from our consciousness when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, when we read the Leelas of Krishna, when we talk about this. But then he says, still, nevertheless, there are two anarthas which will not walk away from you, which you have to drive by your conscious endeavors. And he says, these two anarthas are signified by the two demons who are killed by Balaram. And Balaram is the manifestation of our ego, in one sense, because Sankarsan is coming from Balaram, and Sankarsan is the manifestation of our ego. So he says, Denukasura and Pralambasura, these are the two enemies which we have to make a conscious endeavors to conquer over. And if we don't do this, then the process of Krishna consciousness will not act automatically. It will act automatically upon us, and it will give us so many beautiful gifts, and it will purify our consciousness from all these unwanted things, only if we consciously endeavor to kill Denukasura, the S demon, which is braying inside our heart all the time. And Pralambasura, which is a very long very deep-rooted demon. The first Denukasura is basically the manifestation of our false ego. An attachment to the fruits, which are concomitant factor of false ego. If you have false ego, you will be attached to the fruits. There is no chance that you will not be attached. You may pretend, even to yourself, that you are not attached to the fruits. I'm so detached, you know. But if you have the false identity, no way, no chance, you know. False identity means you're attached to the fruits like this S demon in Krishna Lila. You know, he's guarding these tall fruits which Krishna wants to take. You know, he's not even capable of enjoying these fruits himself, but he will not let Krishna to enjoy these fruits either. This is the S which is braying within our heart, and which is guarding Krishna to enjoy the fruits of our endeavors. Never, you know, Krishna, no. It's mine. This is gross demonic mentality, this S mentality, this is all mine. And by the way, when Prabhupada says the sense of responsibility is coming from this false ego, he really means this false responsibility. When sometimes people become overly responsible, overly, you know, they are so diligent and this and that. And again, this is just a manifestation of their false ego and false identity. Look how good I am, how responsible I am. We know the asses, besides being utterly stupid, they also like to carry a lot of loads, you know, and they're doing it very responsibly, you know. This is this is the responsibility, you know. I'm carrying this, and I'm, look how good I am at these things. So this is all different shades and different manifestations, different features, different aspects of our false ego, which is the main enemy of ours, even though we consider it as the best friend. As I said, the false identity is the protective mechanism. Why it is so difficult to let the false ego go? Because we become very vulnerable and seemingly unprotected when we are without false ego. False ego is like a shield around us. You know, we're protecting. We are always, false ego is very aggressive thing. You know, it's always ready to punch somebody. You know, and if nobody punches me, I just punch him just in case he wants to punch me. You know, this is how people think. You know, nobody attacks you, but you know, we know that, you know, the offense is the best way to defend. this is what is going on in this material world. This aggressive false identity is there, and it's basically ready to fight with the rest of the world and protect ourselves. And therefore, coming from this quite cruel and aggressive world where we have to really protect ourselves, and there is only one mechanism which protects us, that is our false identity, we come to the devotee community, and you know, they say, you know, you just become humble and you give up your false ego, and we say, yes, but I'm not so stupid, you know, I'm not going to do it too fast, you know, let me hold for this. You know, it's really, as I said, the ahankar, within ahankar, this is a certain program, very deeply rooted program within our consciousness. So within this ahankar, all these survival instincts are recorded or ingrained in it, and it actually teaches us how to protect ourselves. So, but Krishna says that ultimately, if you want not to be entangled, you have to give up this false ego, false identity. You know, I remember some time ago I listened to Jayadev Prabhu. Jayadev Prabhu, I don't know if you know him, he's a famous devotee from UK, who is doing this, all these regressions, you know. He was doing his regression thing to his, I believe his daughter, who happened to be Mozart in her previous life. You know, whether it's like this, it's not the point. But the point which she did in her regression is very beautiful. And I really appreciated this point which she did. She explained that, you know, she was a very good musician and this and that. And she said that I was especially, in her trance state, she said, I was especially proud of my fingers. You know, the musicians, especially good musicians, they have very long fingers, you know, to play piano, especially to play these difficult passages in piano, you really have to have. So she said, remembering her past life, she said, I was very proud of my fingers. And then she said, I died, and Yamadutas took care of me, took nice care of me. and the first things which they did, they started breaking my fingers. Because this was the thing which I was the most proud of. So whether this is true or not, the point is very apt and very important for us to understand. Because of this false identity, false ego, we tend to give too much importance to certain things which we have, and we become very proud, you know, either openly or sometimes not so openly, but within ourselves, we know, you know, I'm good at this, I'm so good, I'm the doer. And, you know, Yamadutas say, yes, you're very good. So This is the thing, this mentality, this ahankrita bhava, this the bhava of feeling I am the doer, is the cause of all problems and the cause of entanglement and the cause of suffering. This is what we have to clearly understand, very clearly. If we have this bhava, this feeling that I am special and this is my specialty, this is my the best thing, you know, and if we don't have the real bhava is this Saranagati bhava. I'm the part of the Lord, I'm the servant of the Lord, I'm doing this. Yes, He gave this to me. He gave this whole mechanism of the body and the mind, subtle body and gross body, everything is given to me, you know, He arranged everything, so, you know, the only thing which I, the only one whom I could be proud of is my Lord, who is so amazing and who arranged all this amazing mechanism which I am using. And the real feeling, how to replace this ahankrita bhava. Because this is the bhava. Bhava means emotion. And basically we have this emotion of pride, we are proud of this, we are proud of that, we are proud of something which we should not be proud of, sometimes we are proud of right things, but it doesn't matter. Pride is entangling. And it's emotion, and we can replace one emotion by another emotion. So the proper emotion, which should be the replacement of the false emotion, generated by the false ego, by the whole spectrum of false emotions, starting with anger, anxiety, fear, and so on and so forth, is the emotion of gratitude. If this emotion of gratitude is being cultivated, and the beauty of this is that you can consciously cultivate this emotion. Certain emotions are not within your command. You cannot really, for example, even the emotion of love, you cannot really cultivate, because it's beyond, it's a gift, it's something different. But the emotion of gratitude is an emotion which can be consciously cultivated within ourselves, in our day-to-day interactions with other people. What to speak about our interaction with the Holy Name, our interaction with the deities. If this emotion, you know, and cultivation means we may not have it so deep, but still nevertheless, searching within our heart, we still say, I'm grateful. We're coming to the deities, we're coming to other devotees, and with this, you know, readiness to recognize their input within our life, is this readiness to say what they did and how they contributed in us and what they did good for us. So this emotion of gratitude will gradually replace the false emotions generated by the false ego. And when we consider very carefully and minutely the description of Saranagati, the six elements of Saranagati, Anukulyasya Sankalpah Pratikulyasya Varjanam Rakshishyatiti Vishvasugoptritve Varanam Tatha Atmanikshepa Karpanye, we will see that the whole taken together, this elements or features of Saranagati, they represent our gratitude towards the Lord. The Lord is protecting me. The Lord is giving everything to me. This is, according to Jiva Goswami, is the heart of Saranagati, is this Goptritve Varanam Tatha. The Lord is my, not only my protector in a physical sense, but He is my maintainer. He maintains me. He gives everything which I have. And that's gratitude. So the essence of Saranagati is gratitude, which can and should be cultivated. Because as much as Krishna is teaching us to act properly, He's also teaching us surrender. And this is This is the same. This is actually the same thing. He's teaching us how to act properly. It means acting with gratitude and with humility. Gratitude is also a synonym of humility. You know, sometimes people think that humility is some sort of inferiority complex. You know, I'm sitting in one corner and I'm so humble and I'm afraid that somebody, you know, somebody will recognize that I'm not so humble, but, you know, I'm, you know, and I put chadar on myself and no, actually, the real humility is this, it has a dignity. You know, you look at Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is a manifestation of humility, but it's a very unusual version of humility. You know, sometimes Prabhupada looks like this, you know, in a very majestic way. But that's his humility. That's his recognition of his, you know, deep relationship with the Lord and his gratitude. And that's what Srila Prabhupada himself said, that, you know, never was in my life that I was thinking that, you know, I'm independent of the Lord. He made this statement once that people give me credit for this and credit for that. And he said, if I have to be given credit to anything, that I never considered myself independent. That I never considered myself as an independent doer who requires some credit for what I'm doing. So that's the thing, and you know, that's certain, you know, considerations. I could go on, but I guess you already got the point, that we shouldn't jump into conclusion that I'm already too quickly, that I'm free from this ahankrita bhav. But we should work on this. The main point of this is that that is the area of our work. That is the area of where we should apply our conscious endeavors. And when the ahankar of false identity is weakened by our conscious endeavors, then the holy name will make the rest. While we are chanting with the false identity, if we chant the holy name with this ahankar, that's offense. And until and unless we're chanting with this false identity, we commit offenses, and because we commit offenses, the result of the holy name is not as impressive as it should be. It still works, but it doesn't work to the same extent it could work. Therefore, the main endeavor, the main area of our endeavors is this area of false ego. And it means repentance, it means humility, it means service, it means gratitude, it means so many things which can help us to become more wholesome and more capable of really chanting. Because, like Sanatana Goswami, he says that false ego, while we're chanting, he says that it has plenty of room to manifest itself. You know, sometimes people are becoming proud that they chant so many rounds. They go around and they ask, Prabhu, how many rounds do you chant? You know, and they really don't care how many rounds he chants. The idea behind this question is to say, oh, so little, and I chant so much, you know. And, you know, it's not a secret, yeah. We chant 64 rounds, and, you know, and we become very proud, you know. And then, but, you know, we're still not satisfied because, you know, not many people recognize this. So we go around and we say, you know, you should chant 1 lakh, you know. And basically, when people start preaching this very vigorously, it basically means that they want to show, look, I'm doing this, and you're not doing this. I am superior than you, you are inferior than myself. Sanatana Goswami says that sometimes people become very proud, the pride or ahankar in our devotional career or this field of devotional service can manifest in a sense that, see, I'm such a good preacher. Oh, I'm such an empowered servant of the holy name. I spread the glory of the holy name all over the place and I chant such good kirtans, you know, nobody does this, and you know, everyone becomes ecstatic when I open my divine holy mouth and chant the holy name. You know, so there is so much room of being proud even in our devotional career, but the point which Krishna makes again and again and again and again is that, you know, if you want to do something, this is what you should do. This is what we should do. This is what Krishna will not do to us. Krishna will help. Krishna may arrange some situations where our false ego may become little not so inflated. There is no doubt about it. But Krishna will not snatch away our false ego. He's Hari, he is the thief, he can snatch away anything, but he will not touch this. He said, this is, you know, this is something very precious to you. So only if you want to give it to me, I will take it. If you don't want, live with it, no problem. I have no problem with it. You have the problem living with this false ego, false identity. So you know, this false ego, this ass demon which is living within us, this is something which we should conscientiously work upon and try to solve this problem. Then, as it is said here, hatva api nahanyate. Such people, even if they kill, they will not kill. Because if the need is there, the killing will not be done with emotions. The emotions which are switched or triggered by our false ego will not be involved. And there will be no nalipyate. Our consciousness will not be tainted by our actions. And ultimately, nanibadhyate, we will not become entangled into this chain. So that's important, and we should not count on the automatic process of Krishna consciousness when it comes to this. Yes, there is a lot of things which are happening automatically by the mercy of the holy name, but the freedom from the false identity, from false ego, will not come by the mercy of the holy name. It's something which you have to desire to achieve, and you can achieve. Krishna will give you all the facilities. Otherwise, everything else is a mercy, and we are the product of mercy, and we always have to remember. And actually, the very fact, you know, if we remember that we are dependent on the mercy of the holy name, that's already something, you know, to start with, to work with our false ego, false sense of pride. I am the doer, and I only know what I am doing, and nobody else has to do it. So that's a few things, few points which I could make. Maybe somebody else, Mahatma Prabhu is here, so many great souls are here. So, you know.
Maharaj, you didn't tell us about the Pashyamaka
Rebbe. Pralambasura is lust. You know, is our attachment to sex relationship. That's mainly this. In my analysis of Dhenukasura and Pralambasura, these are two aspects of the same problem, but Dhenukasura is more our gross identity, and our attachment to the fruits of actions and of our actions, and attachment to the enjoyment of the by the fruits of our actions. Whereas Pralambasura is more like our most subtle identity, identification with the subtle body, with all the programs which are there, you know, starting with the lust. So these are two aspects of the false ego. First is the gross identification with gross body, and the second one is the... and another aspect of Pralambasura is the pretense, because when we know the lila of Pralambasura, Pralambasura comes and he pretends to be the friend of Krishna as a little cowherd boy. So it basically means that also this pretentious mentality or hypocrisy which we carry in even in the field of devotional service. You know, I'm coming, but I want to, you know, I failed to enjoy this material world by the conventional means. So now I will enjoy in this material world by the means of Krishna consciousness. Like one devotee, I remember, he said, I wanted to become the great sportsman. It didn't work. Then I wanted to become the great military man. It didn't work. Now I want to become a great devotee. So, the same concept. The same false ego, the same program is there. We're bringing it here. That's Pralambasura. He's pretending, I'm a friend of Krishna. Why, you know, I'm just, you know, I will be friend, just help me to enjoy. Help me to win. So that's another area. Yes, Akrura, not Prabhu.
I'm curious about whether, you know, if devotees are acting without any, you know, ahankara, ahankara,
and... thank you. Hare Krishna. If devotees... I'm curious about whether there would be always... You know, with this super sanction, there will always be harmony, that they'll always agree. Like, I'm thinking of pastimes where, you know, for example, Krishna wants Arjuna to marry Subhadra, but Balaram doesn't want. And I'm wondering whether two devotees, advanced devotees, who are acting with the super sanction, still may disagree on what the right course of action is, or may even have a conflict with one another.
That may be. That may be, even though Prabhupada says that in Krishna consciousness there is no two opinions, there is this famous statement which is very puzzling, you know. I know in Krishna consciousness there are so many opinions, Prabhupada nevertheless makes this statement. But, you know, if you are really surrendered and somebody else is really surrendered, which is rare enough coincidence, two completely surrendered souls together in one room, and on the top of it they're quarreling with each other. If this rare occasion takes place, then it's definitely for Krishna's pleasure. Krishna is arranging this, and he is behind this disagreement. So, but in most of the cases, the reason may be much more, much more ordinary, not less esoteric, a little less esoteric. So, but there is one little point which I perhaps may add to what I said, which is, I was stressing mostly the point of what we should do individually, working in this area of our false ego. But there is a very important area, how the community of devotees can help in this regard. Because if we have the atmosphere which is not threatening, and the atmosphere when all the people, you know, try to support each other and protect each other, then there is no need for this protective shield of false ego. It will be much easier for people to surrender this protective mechanism and be themselves. and be really happy in this environment. Therefore, the social aspect of this problem is very important. We will never be able to solve this problem individually if we are in a hostile environment, if the environment is still very competitive and very hostile. So there is a very important role of the healthy society or social environment to help us to disarm, to give up this false ego. So that's another important aspect. Yes, Prangalindiji.
Arad, very nice class, thank you. I was wondering that in Arjuna's case, according to your beautiful explanation, it was aligned with the instrument of Krishna, Nimitta Matra. But what about Bhishma Dev? Was his activity predestined or was he making his destiny? Because when the story goes that Prabhupada gives five arrows, that he took a vow to kill the Pandavas next day, was it Ahankrita Bhav or Sharanagata Bhav?
Oh, definitely it was Ahankrita Bhav. Because, first of all, Duryodhan comes to him and ignites his false ego. You know, he starts offending him left and right. And actually the best way to turn on your false ego is just start offending you. And he's saying this and he's saying that. But also, there is definitely this element, you know, Bhishma Dev is such a complex personality. So he knows that Krishna will protect Arjuna. So he says this as a response, and externally the response of Bhishma Dev is as if his false ego turned on and he's saying, yes, I do this. But deep inside he says, let me see how Krishna will protect it, how Krishna will solve this problem, how Krishna will solve this conundrum which I will make for him. So it's a mixture, you know. Externally, there is element of it, probably. But because Bhishma Dev is a great devotee, internally, it's just a part of his lila with Krishna. And he says, oh, Krishna will play such a beautiful lila, I just want to be a part of it. So that's the point. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the class. Maharaj, you mentioned that there's a close correlation between material emotions and false ego. So can you please elaborate more on that? Because emotions come from the mind, right? And the subtle body consists of mind, intelligence, and
but
false ego.
Emotion come from the mind, but the mind is, the switchboard is in the false ego. So, you know, the false ego is basically manipulating the mind, creating different emotional reactions. But the program which is, you know, creating this, because the mind is again is a weapon for the false ego. False ego is there, but you know it uses the mind as its, because the mind manas is the evolute of ahankar according to Sankhya philosophy. You know, ahankar is the modification of prakriti in the mode of tamas, and when the sattvic portion of tamasic ahankar is being modified for the second time, then manas appears. When the rajasic portion of tamasic ahankar is modified, then this vikriti will become buddhi, and when tamasic portion of tamasic ahankar, then all the tanmatras and everything else is created. So mind is totally dependent on false ego. It's an instrument. It's basically it's limb of the false ego. So the switchboard is there, and the external manifestation is coming from the mind. And this also, you can clearly see in the structure of your brain, which is the mechanism of all this manas, buddhi, and ahankar. So the limbic system, which is the emotional system in the brain, is very much dependent on the deeper layers of the brain, which is stem, reptile. So switchboard is there.
Thank you, Maharaj.
You got it.
Thank you, Maharaj. Grateful that you're here. You mentioned gratitude as a way of working on ourselves to overcome the false ego. And it seems easier to be grateful when things are more or less going well in your life. You know, if things are coming to you or somebody appreciates you for some ability that you have, you know, we can say, grateful that, you know, Krishna has given me this. But when there's suffering or suffering comes upon us, or maybe some bad health comes, you know, I know for myself, when I try to say I'm grateful, it feels very artificial. So if we're in that situation where there's some suffering or some pain, then how to cultivate gratitude in a sincere way? Because sometimes just saying that I'm grateful for this, like Queen Kunti prays, you know, I'm grateful for the calamities, but it seems artificial when I say that, when I am suffering. So what do I do? What does a person do when they're suffering and they want to react in the right way?
You still say, I'm grateful, you know, because if you say this, it's still, you know, has some effect upon your consciousness. You know, it's artificial, yes. You know this, and Krishna definitely knows it's artificial. But if you buy, still nevertheless, you're saying this, you know, Krishna, I don't understand why you're sending this all to me, but still I... You know, theoretically I understand that you probably wishes me well. And this is the manifestation of your goodwill upon my wretched self. So if you say this, Krishna will appreciate this and he will relieve you from the sufferings sooner. You know, Queen Kunti could say it with complete sincerity. We cannot say this with the same sincerity. We will say this reluctantly. But still, if we at least theoretically understand, you know, Krishna, I know that, you know, so many times you were with me and you helped me in many situations. And, you know, looking back, we can really see that the difficulties which we underwent ultimately brought some good gifts in our life. You know, if we philosophically understand this, then even though we may not say it with the full sincerity, but still we may say that, yes, theoretically I understand that sooner or later the fruit of this will be good and I will appreciate it later. So, you know, you can say to Krishna, I can't really appreciate what you're doing to me. Thank you very much for it, but, you know, at this moment of time, excuse me, but I cannot really fully appreciate your grace upon me. But I hope that in the future I will be able to do this.
Thank you, Maharaj. I don't have a question, but I want to thank you for coming and putting the teachings of the Gita in such a beautiful, funny way that opens up my heart to
to grasp those teachings. And considering that English is a second language for you, your deep understanding and eloquence is so amazing. So thank you.
My full Siga is very happy.
Sripad Bhakti Vikram Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.